Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, here onto the grid. Hour number 2 of the early line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. Kev, yesterday we looked at double-digit spreads, right? And we looked at this game with Kansas City at home at Arrowhead against the Denver Broncos. I believe it was 13.5. It might get to the full 2 touchdowns, right? The total in this game is 50.5. One of the things I mentioned, Kev, is the idea like, hey, it's a division game. You know, the Raiders play them close. The Chargers took them to overtime. Maybe that can happen. And, Kev, I'm grasping at straws here. You know what I mean? The Chiefs are the second best offense in the league, 31 points a game. The Broncos are the second worst offense in the league at 19 points a game. They'll have a legitimate actual quarterback. I'm using that term loosely in Drew Lock now, getting quarterback, you know, back there. They all cleared. But here's the other thing. Even when it was Drew Lock, the Broncos turn the ball over the most in the NFL, Kev. They're at minus 15 as well in a turnover margin. The Chiefs are at plus 9. You mean you're telling me when the Broncos have the second worst offense and the Chiefs have the second best offense, it is also more than likely that we're going to give Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs extra chances and extra possessions to score? I see no reason to believe the Chiefs won't win this game. The question is, do they do it by 2 touchdowns, Kev?
Probably. I mean, here's the deal right now with Denver, Dane. The offense is the story because they lost all their quarterbacks, and is Drew Lock a real quarterback? Here's what they've done since week 7. Gave up 43 to the Chiefs. Now, there was a kickoff return touchdown and a defensive touchdown in that game, but that just kept Mahomes off the field. Like, they would have scored anyway. They scored whenever they wanted. They gave up 30 to the Chargers, 34 to the Falcons, 37 to the Raiders. They held Tua and Co. to 13, which is why we're low on Miami with Tua at quarterback. And then they gave up 31 last week to Taysom Hill. They're just bleeding points. I mean, they are. Mm-hmm. They are just bleeding points right now. And the Chiefs score. I mean, the Chiefs, but the thing is, the Chiefs total is 31.5. So will the Chiefs register 5 touchdowns? I mean, probably. But last week, you know, they didn't polish things off against Tampa Bay. And I mean, they had scored 17 points in the first quarter. And then they finished with 10 the rest of the game. That's, for them, pretty disappointing. I've said this all year long, and I'm going to stick with it. When I don't know what to do, I back Mahomes and Reed. And it's a tough game. And I understand 13.5 is a lot. But, Dane, when the score is 27-3, it's not going to feel like that much.
No, I agree with that. And it seemed like, why did we ever believe, you know, that they were going to hang and be gritty? You know, I'm giving you all the reasons why it could happen earlier in the season. Denver was playing up to the competition. It is a division matchup. But when it comes down to it, right, in the same way you mentioned earlier in the show that the Jets may be like, you know, public proof. Right. Maybe the Chiefs are also that kind of proof, you know, that these trends don't matter. The Chiefs just are that good. I was astonished, Kev, to see that Patty Mahomes actually set another record last week. For the fourth game in a row, Kev, Patty Mahomes had over 300 yards and over 30 completions. That is the first time that has happened in NFL history. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, around the globe, big shout out. Thanks for getting the edge by getting on the grid here. Talking about the Chiefs and Kev, like, is this truly, you know, even if they're not, you know, in terms of the numbers, right? And they are great. I mean, 31 points a game is pretty damn good. But to me, it's also that they have the answer, right? They have the answers to all the questions. Like, what's going to stop Mahomes and these Chiefs right
now? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. There's not a single thing. And I mean, as much as I just said, right?
You have to just outscore them, right? You have to beat them the way the Raiders did. You have to beat them 40-37 or something like that.
You need to play with a lead. And that's been the deal since Mahomes took over. That's how the Pats beat him. They would run the ball down their throat, and Brady would always be able to answer any Mahomes scores. You have to play with a lead. And even still, it's going to be tough. The Chiefs, since they played that game against Denver, so the same point that we use, offense, like, they put up 43, 35, 33, 35, and last week was 27. The thing is, the Chiefs haven't covered in 3 weeks. So the numbers are starting to get high. The question becomes, if people are like, oh, okay, you know what, too many points here, it's then you'll feel a little bit better about it. But maybe, you know what, as good as they are, these numbers are getting a little too high.
Out of control.
They have not covered in 3 weeks. For a team that's, you know, we talk a lot about, Dane, how point spreads a lot of times won't come into play. It feels like, you know, if you win, you cover.
Obviously, they've won all three. Double-digit ones now, because this is starting to get a little bit out of control, right?
It is. It is. Denver's been bad. The team total over 31.5 is monstrous. You know what it is, to more than anything, though, right? I'd lean with the Chiefs. I'd lean with the it's a really, really solid prop game. Like, Travis Kelce will score a touchdown in this game, right? Like,
that makes sense.
Travis Kelce will get into the end zone. Also, I believe our guy CEH popped up on the injury report with illness.
Illness.
If he, but not COVID, just not feeling well. If he misses the game, I'll buy all the Le'Veon Bell stuff. I'll buy that Lev Bell goes out there and has a monster game.
That makes sense. You said one thing that I'm going to want to ask you about over the course of the next 2 months, because after what you said, remember Cleveland and Tennessee have the number one and two run games? Does that mean that those are the two best teams to try to unseat Kansas City in the AFC? Because style makes fight. Something to consider. We'll come back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line on a Football Friday going into week 13 of the NFL season. You know, we talked about it. It's the three-quarter poll mark, Kev, and a bunch of teams have already fired their coaches. One of the teams that have done so is the Detroit Lions. It happened last week. So let me ask you, you know, the Texans got a win after Bill O'Brien. Right? The Falcons are playing for Raheem Morris. Talk to me. We've heard even little inklings, little sound bites that make it feel like the Lions are more than fine with Matt Patricia not being in the building this week, right? So do the Lions, you know, step up? They are getting 3 points against a team that, you know, I think is definitely beatable. Talk to me about what you expect to see from the Detroit Lions in terms of pride, putting things on tape under interim coach Bevel.
Very, very unfair of the Lions to get rid of Matt Patricia before this game. He's, you know, had many, many chances to beat Matt Nagy. He has never beat Matt Nagy. So now that goes out the window, which is unfortunate for us to make this a little bit easier. The Lions are bad. Stafford is banged up. The whole team's banged up. I don't buy the Lions. I also think that everybody hates the Bears. You're going to be dealing with a spot where you have a public dog in the Detroit Lions, which is always a little bit concerning. Again, I don't get too caught up with that stuff, but it's all relevant to the conversation. The thing about Trubisky is they still scored 25. Was it in garbage time? Yeah. Was he garbage for a lot of the game? Sure. They find ways to score. I mean, they beat Detroit already this year. Can I just
say, that was a crazy game. Remember that.
Oh, 100%. They had no business winning that game, but that's what Patricia was great at all season long. Sure. Can I just say, this is how... So you and I, again, there's a couple of teams over the course of this season, right, that were teams of the show, for better or for worse, right?
Sure.
So let's call the Bears one of those teams.
5-1 start? Sure.
Right. 5-1 start. You're like, look, my under's live. I'm like, that's outrageous.
I never gave up hope. That's right.
Never did. Never did, right? Here's the crazy thing as to why I thought it was always wild that, like, the under was like the Bears are in the mix. Dane, we both said we think the Rams win the game. It's not a guarantee. We're going to find out, right? But if the point spreads hold true, at the end of the week, the Bears will have the same record as the Cardinals. They will have the same record as the Cardinals. These buffoons had
Do you like the Bears to win this game? Do you like the Bears, though?
Forget the points where it's only true.
No, do you think the Bears win this game?
I think the Bears win the game. I think the Bears cover the game. I think the Bears get the job done here. I think they're going to beat up on the Lions with their defense. I think everybody around this team is like, guys, we are getting embarrassed here. Who better to fix the woes than these Detroit Lions, who have all just waiting for this season to get over? They've been waiting for this season to be over for a while now. It's been a complete mess for the Lions. If the Bears go to 6-6, they are now getting to the soft point of their schedule. Because as much as this team has lost 5 games in a row, right? The 5 games, 4 of them are against the Rams, the Saints, the Titans, and the Packers. Like, you know what? You lose those games, you live with it. The Vikings won. The game I still will never get over is the game that was like, oh, okay. And that's when I tapped out. I'm like, I can't with this team anymore. If the Bears, like, they're still right there, incredibly. Like, the Bears never left the graphic, right? The Bears never left the graphic. I just think that's one of the other angles of this game is if you're a team like the Bears, we'll talk about the Vikings, like, you're all still right there because the Cardinals have been a mess over the past month.
Yeah, and listen, the Detroit Lions are second worst in the league defensively in terms of giving up like 29, 30 points a game. The question is, can Mitch Trubisky and this offense that's, you know, scores less than 20 points a game, can they take advantage? Allen Robinson has certainly been good. 71 catches, 829 yards, 5 touchdowns. Kev, trivia time. Allen Robinson, with his 71 catches, 829 yards, and 5 touchdowns, is one of 4 wide receivers in the league right now who have 70 catches or more and 5 or more touchdowns. Allen Robinson is one of 4 wide receivers that are already above 70 grabs and 5 touchdowns. Or the other three.
Hopkins has to be on that list, right?
Incorrect.
Well, I simply have no chance then. If I don't have Hopkins on that list, I'll throw a couple of other names out there, but this one is going to fall. Thielen? I know he's up there with four touchdowns.
Just so you know, D-Hop has four touchdowns.
I would have guessed Thielen, he had no less.
Not on the list either. Thielen has the touchdowns, not the receptions.
Incredible. Diggs probably has the receptions and not the touchdowns.
Neither.
That's wild. Tyreek has a bunch of touchdowns.
Do you want Hopkins? What do you want here?
Lockett is one of the three. All right, Lockett we got one of the three. We'll tap out from there.
Fine, the other two. One is in this division. Mr. Davante Adams, our producer, is correct. The other one is someone who I have been advocating for that people don't realize is an elite wide receiver one and leads the NFL in receptions so far this season.
Oh, Keenan?
Keenan Allen is correct. Yeah. Keenan Allen is the other one. Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, Tyler Lockett, and AR-15 are the only wide receivers that are at that level with receptions and touchdowns. It's ironic, and I wanted to ask you this. Allen Robinson, going to be a Bear next year or no?
I have no idea who's going to be a Bear next. I literally, there's not a player on the Bears I am confident is a Bear next year. I'll also, just quickly, both of these teams lost last week 41-25. Very weird.
That's
very odd.
That is
But they
odd.
Both lost 41-25. Also, I probably would play this game over the 44.5. I probably would play this game over.
Okay, that's interesting to me as well. Let me ask you this. I said, is Allen Robinson going to be a Bear next year? I think in this game, that kind of question that's most important is, will Matthew Stafford be a Lion next year, right? And his new coach, you know, I've talked about it in Atlanta, the idea of turning the page. It would be an opportunity to do so if they wanted to do so. Do you think they would?
I don't know what just happened to my brain, but for whatever reason, for the first time, literally ever, I've just wondered if somehow Matt Stafford is the quarterback of the Eagles next year. That sounds insane on the surface, but right, like the only way Wentz isn't the quarterback is if they like trade him, which then doesn't mean Hurts has to be the quarterback. I don't know. I think Stafford being gone is likely. It's more likely than Matt Ryan. You take that for what it's worth. I think it's more likely than Matt Ryan. The problem with saying Stafford is out is I have to find the destination. Because Stafford is not going to be out of the league, right?
No, of course. I don't think so either.
If Stafford is going to not be in Detroit, I need to find another home. There isn't a clear and obvious destination at the moment.
Atlanta,
for Stafford.
New York, San Francisco.
Matt Ryan, Chicago. Drafting,
I mean, there's places, right? I hear you. There is places. There's going to be a quarterback carousel on some level. Mm-hmm. Question is to what extent some of these veterans will be on it. Real quick, Kev, in the NFC North also, the Minnesota Vikings are at home to take on the Jaguars, another double-digit line, right? We're thinking that there are some reasons to buy into the Minnesota Vikings. Will Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, a returning Thielen, just quite frankly be too much for the Jags?
I don't know. The Jaguars have covered 3 of 4, with the lone exception being that game against Pittsburgh.
Is this a middle for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't trust Minnesota right now. Like, the Dallas game was really bad, right? And for them to take the lead and then find a way to lose it was unacceptable. But then they didn't even cover the 3 against Carolina. Like, they eked it out. They've just not been the same team that we've known of them. For them to be laying 10.5, Dalvin's not scoring every single week now. I know Thielen's back, but I'll take the 10.5 points. The Jaguars love the backdoor. Love it.
That's true. A lot of good rookies in this game, right? Jefferson, James Robinson, even LaVisca Chenault has been doing work for these Jags. A lot of interesting rookies to watch, but Dalvin Cook is going to do work at home. We'll come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back, everybody, right here to the Early Line, where we put the fun and functional sports content. Big shout out to all of our affiliates for joining the fun here bright and early in the morning. We're also trying to give you what you need to be profitable. We got a couple of other Sunday games to discuss. Listen, there are three games happening after Sunday night in Week 13. Remember, we're going to have a doubleheader on Monday. We got Cowboys-Ravens happening on Tuesday. We don't know who's going to be available for the Ravens. We do not know if Lamar Jackson, if Mark Andrews will be available for the Ravens in that one. But let's stay focused on the remaining Sunday games. One of the teams I want to talk about is the Seattle Seahawks, Kev. They welcome in the New York Giants, and looks like the Giants will be going with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. I know a lot of people saw the news of Josh Gordon being reinstated. However, he will not be valid and, you know, available for the Seahawks until further on in the season, week 16, in my opinion. And Kev, remember earlier in the show, I gave you the fact that I got the Kansas City Chiefs futures bet a little bit earlier on in the season, and it was an improving defense, which was it for me. I talked about the Saints in the NFC with an improving defense. You have said this. You know I'm on this. The Seattle Seahawks are the other team, I believe, that have an improving defense to pair with their 31 points a game, to pair with their MVP candidate in Russell Wilson on offense with Lockett and Metcalf. You know, I believe in the return of the run game with Chris Carson as well. How does Colt McCoy go into the Pacific Northwest and win or hang within 10?
Well, I think it's going to be because the Seahawks let him. Because not only is that what Seattle likes to do, they just like to play weird football games, but also their new MO of going back to, I don't know, taking Russ out of the kitchen, whatever the, you know, phrase would be. They're not letting him cook anymore. Seattle is not as fun for whatever reason. So the Giants on the season are 5-0 as a road dog against the number. Now, that's what Daniel Jones, quarterback. Against the number, of course. If they were 5-0 on the road, I mean, they would be.
They'd be leading the NFC.
They'd be like first place in the NFC, period, if they were 5-0 on the road. And they'd be an incredible football team. Against the number, though, they are 5-0 as a road dog. You kind of can't go against that. Getting double-digit points with a team who has that type of ATS record, I understand Daniel Jones, Colt McCoy, there's a difference there with that number. I'm not ignoring that, but I don't think you can go against that trend right now when it comes to the Giants. But, Dane, I think this is probably another under game here right now. 47.5 is the number. The Giants in their road games have been playing pretty much exclusively to the under. Six games, five of them have gone to the under, okay? The Seahawks' last three games have played to the under. So I look at this as a spot where 47.5 with Seattle. Listen, it's a shame, but the Seahawks are boring. They now just have to taken their foot off of the gas pedal, and they're back to the dumb stuff that they did last year. They let teams hang around too long. They should have obliterated the Eagles. They didn't, because this is what Seattle does. I hope I'm wrong. I prefer the version of Seattle where they let Russ cook. That's not what we've seen over the past couple of weeks. Under plus the points.
All right. Fair enough. And that's that old thing. If you're thinking it's an under game, right, a team has to do something to get a working margin of a double-digit spread, and that is harder to do in a game that you expect to have less points being scored if you're taking the under. Russ has been ridiculous, especially at home this season. 19 touchdowns, only two interceptions at home. That's good for 127.3 quarterback rating. You know all the weapons there. DK, Lockett, I believe a returning Chris Carson, who has scored four touchdowns in his last four games via the run. I believe he will get into the end zone again. That's an interesting anytime touchdown when everyone's thinking about Lockett and Metcalf. Carson could pound it in. Shep and Ingram have been consistent on the other side, but we'll see how this one breaks out. The Seattle Seahawks still in contention for a bye in the NFC. We got one game left, Kev, and it's the Patriots and the Chargers. Okay.
Yeah.
Trivia time, Kev.
Oh, boy.
The Chargers and Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert has been amazing. This team under Herbert is averaging 397 yards a game. That is good for the third in the NFL, right? Justin Herbert, already in his rookie year, Kev, has six games of 300 yards passing or better. Six games. Already in his rookie season. He didn't even start the first one. Guess what, Kev? That ties the NFL record. Six games for a rookie quarterback throwing 300 yards or more. And Herbert has a month left to go. Whose record do you think he is breaking when he inevitably throws another 300-yard game? Who currently is tied with Justin Herbert for the rookie record of six games of 300 or more passing yards?
So I have four guys in mind. I have four guys in mind, right? A, B, C.
Like, turn my camera off so you don't see my reaction
right.
or something.
Right.
Go to a graphic or something. Go ahead, Kev. Go ahead, guess.
So I've got four guys in mind, okay?
I'm playing poker right now. Go ahead.
I've got Russell Wilson. I'm not even going to look at you. We're going me solo. I'm not even going to look at you. Big Ben, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz. Now, Dak had a really good rookie year. Was the yardage there, though? That was when everything was about Zeke. Big Ben holds some rookie records, but were they throwing the football that much? I don't know. That was like 28 years ago when he was a rookie. And then Russ, again, they were kind of doing it by the run. If I remember correctly, Wentz had to throw the football a ton. This is going to blow up in my face, because if it's not Wentz, what a biased guess. But that's what I'm going to go with. Against the beaten path, Dane throwing me a little bit of a bone here for a pro Carson Wentz stat. Carson Wentz is my answer.
You are incorrect.
Oh,
none of your four guesses, none of those four
really?
Are incorrect, though. Yes.
Wow. I mean.
The answer.
E, other.
The answer is Mr. Andrew Luck. Threw for 300 yards more than six times in his rookie
remember
season.
That guy?
Remember, they had all the weapons. Remember, it was just Peyton giving it to Andrew Luck. But I digress. We're saying this because Justin Herbert has been absolutely ridiculous, right? Two or more touchdowns in seven of his eight starts. I told you about the records for the 300-yard games. This offense is dynamic. Keenan Allen leads the league. They just got Austin Eckler back. Kev, honestly, and I know we have our thing with the Patriots, how does Cam and the Patriots offense keep up with the Chargers? They needed last-second field goals to beat the Jets. They needed penalties to extend drives and a last-second field goal last week to beat Arizona, right? They've gotten those wins. But I'll ask you this question. How does this Patriots offense keep up with this Chargers offense?
Because it's the Chargers. I mean, it doesn't even really need an answer.
Okay.
You know this.
Okay.
It's the Chargers. Last week, the Chargers only scored 17 points to a Buffalo team that had been struggling. So
there was some bad time management going on there. They completed like two Hail Marys, but that's
besides that. But they're not going to be coached by anybody differently going into this football game, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is the thing with the Chargers. So in the beginning of the season, right, they covered five of their first six football games. No matter what happened, right? Win or lose, straight up, they were covering, they were competitive, we were impressed. I think what happened is then we just all gave them way too much respect. And they've not followed it up. They have now not covered, Dane, five consecutive games. They were 3-point favorites against Denver. They lost that heartbreaker. It was a pick'em against. It was a pick'em against Vegas. They then got their hearts broken by not being able to score the gun. The Miami game was the game where we all went, oh, of course they beat Miami. It's the sharp trap. Right. Love it, love it, yep. Love it. Nope, didn't happen. They didn't cover against the Jets. And then last week, they didn't cover against Buffalo. And a lot of people like them to cover against Buffalo. They have now not covered in 5 straight games here. Now, and the spread is a pick'em. So it's pretty much, will they or won't they win? These two teams though are... Right now, they are going in different directions. The Chargers are 3-8. No matter what, you have a Patriots team that is 5-6. They get to 500. They could be tied with some of those teams on our, you know, Final Four graphic, or least make up a game against some of the other teams that are 2 games in front of them. New England has struggled on the road this year. 1-4 away from Foxborough. That's a real thing. Cam Newton having 80 passing yards last week blows my mind. I still have no idea how you win a game that you were down 10-0 in and your quarterback throws for 80 yards. That's more on the Cardinals to me, though, than anybody. And it's also upsetting for my yardage prop. We're still fine. He'll have
that's
a big
what I was
game
ask
here
you.
This week.
Let me ask you. The props aren't up yet for this game, right? The player props. What would you hang as the Cam Newton passing prop for this game? Like, I'm not trying to joke with you, right? But, no, like, the number that comes to me, honestly, is something like 183.5.
But I just want to make this point.
Like, am I crazy? Right?
No, first of all, that's what the numbers are. The numbers have been anywhere from the 180s to like the 220s, right? But I just want people to know this with the preseason over that
week. I want a fantasy matchup with Cam as my quarterback. He got me literally -3 points last week.
It's terrible. Yeah, no, I mean, he gave me 3 points last week in my league. A little different settings, it looks like. But he gave me 3 Fair. Points in my league, right? Dane, here's the thing, though, right? So you set the over-under at 183.5. Let's say he misses the number by 20 points. For my preseason number, great game. 160? Okay. Like, we need him to average 100 yards per game dating back to last week. He throws.
He didn't do that yards. Last week.
I
he
know.
Didn't do that last
I know.
Week.
I know. Like, that's why I have no problem. The perfect game script here is the Chargers get out like they always do. They're up 10. Cam throws the football. The Chargers blow the game. We get 250 yards from Cam. The Pats win. That's the ideal.
The problem with that. The problem with that would be if Joey Bosa had a game like he did last week, though. Okay, because if you release Bosa and his 3 sacks and his fumble recover and his 6 tackles for loss, it could be a problem for prop bets or the blue tent. We'll talk more when we come back.
This guy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. Those are the games on Sunday, Kev. Let's turn our attention to some other things to really watch for this weekend, okay? And I, you know the way I feel about the college football playoff. You know the way we feel about the fact that BYU was in the teens at first. You and I both have them in our top 8. There was the story that they'll play anybody. The question is, like, what could they do to really help their case? So I ask you, the fact that now, you know, Liberty has COVID issues. College game day was already going to be at Coastal Carolina, right? And it was going to be Liberty, Coastal Carolina. Well, Liberty goes down with the COVID issues. They're on pause. And so BYU's like, I'll do it. Coastal Carolina's like, sure, come on in. First of all, before we think about this game, Kev, I think this is awesome. I think it is awesome that both BYU and Coastal Carolina are risking their undefeated seasons with a new opponent 48 hours before kickoff. This is what it should be, right? We're seeing teams just randomly play each other in college basketball on short notice. This is awesome. This is something, one of those heavyweights that are out there protecting their perception would never do. But we're going to get undefeated BYU. We're going to get undefeated Coastal Carolina. I love it, and I love that game day is going to be there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. And you know what? For these two clubs right now, why wouldn't you? At the end of the day, you're 13 and 18 in the country. You ain't making the top 4. What do you have to lose? Oh, an unbeaten season? cares? At the end of the day, you're on national TV, especially if you're Coastal, right? Like, you've got College Game Day there. The game against Liberty was supposed to be a big one for you.
There's a big coming out party for the program, for the university. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you're the Cougars, listen, you're 9-0.
Go win.
It is what it is. Okay? You get the win. Is it going to get you any further? Not really. We know that. We know that going in. But at least it can add to their claim that they're getting jobbed. This is the only top 25 team that they'll play. Coastal, if Coastal does lose, which they are favored to do, actually by quite a bit.
You think they stick in the top 25?
I think so. I think they will still hang around in the top 25. BYU can then maybe crack the top 10. Because here's the thing, right? So you and I had a conversation. I want to quickly try and just pull this up here about, you know, when it comes to BYU and their outlook, is there literally anything that can happen that gets this team to the top four? But I asked you the question from the prism of you and our rankings, because we had them at 8, right? And there was a couple of things that we were able to do to where it was like, look, is it asking a ton? Yes. But, you know, it's maybe. So right now they're at 13. If I look at who is in front of them, right? Well, Indiana is going to play Wisconsin this week. Penix is out. Okay, they can get in front of them. Miami, I believe, has a game with UNC. Could lose that football game. They can get in front of a Miami. Oklahoma plays Iowa State in the Big 12 title game. Likely, they're getting in front of one, but not the other. Georgia evidently is just not going anywhere. They could get some help in some other spot. Look, them getting to the top four, it's not in the cards. So why not just keep swinging and bolster your case that you're getting jobbed? Because at the end of the day, lose this game, it's no different. Win it, and you can then at least also keep up the moniker, any place, anywhere, anybody, we're down to play.
I agree with that. And the other thing, you know, when we're talking about the college football playoff, the championship, that's one thing. Also think about it. For schools like BYU or Coastal Carolina or Marshall or Cincinnati, what they also get the ability to improve is like what bowl they do go to. Right. And for a team like BYU or Coastal, if they're playing on January 1st, right, in the Orange Bowl or something like that, that's huge for the program, even if they're not in the college football playoffs. So I do think there's a lot, you know, in terms of kind of notoriety. Imagine them recruitment, you know, in following years, the fact if they actually do get through this. I saw a nugget yesterday that I think is crazy. Check this out, Kevin. In 1939, USC played UCLA. In 1945, Army played Navy. In 1947, USC played your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. In 1969, Texas played Arkansas. And in 2009, in the SEC championship game, Alabama played Florida. Those are the only five other times in NCAA history that a game happened in December with two undefeated teams. Wow. Can you believe that? These are two undefeated teams facing each other this late in the season, in December. It's only happened five other times in NCAA history. The caveat is that not being a bowl game, right? Because that, I guess, has happened. But as a regular game this late in the season, we're talking about things like Notre Dame in the 40s and stuff. This is unique. And the fact that these two teams have this spotlight, I think, is amazing. Now, however, onto the game. Kev, I think it's a bad spot for BYU. I think it's a bad spot for BYU because they're laying double digits. We know how hard that is. They are going on the road, Kev. And they don't know jack about Coastal. They didn't have them on their radar a mere 3 days ago. Now they have to prep for a team that is undefeated, and they got to go travel to their place to do so in what is, in essence, their Super Bowl. I mean, BYU is more of a national program than Coastal Carolina. This is everything for Coastal. I just think it's a bad spot for BYU and sort of a no-win situation. If they go out and win and boat race Coastal, they were sort of supposed to, and I don't know how much it augments their case. I mean, they're double-digit favorites on the road. If they lose, if they win close, if they trip up, you know, like, what's in it? I love that BYU's doing it, but what's in it for BYU? I understand the general augment their case, better bowl, right? But they got more to lose here.
The thing, and I guess my point is they have nothing to lose anymore because they're not going to get to the top four. They're not. So why not just take swings? Get a big game and boost up the idea that you're selling to people, that you will play. Because I agree with you, right? Like, it does take a lot on short notice to go to an unbeaten ranked team. To be fair, though, if I would offer the other side, right? BYU has not played since the 21st of November. They were off this week, right? And they're going to show up and they're going to play a game. Coastal spent all week preparing for Liberty. You know what I mean? So they're also dealing with the opponent change. You know what it might remind
they're
me of a little bit?
They're home at least, though. They're home at least.
They are. That's Do big. You remember way back when Gaethje fought Tony Ferguson? Yeah. And we were like, man, that late change is going to kill Gaethje because it's short notice. And we've had Tony's been prepping. And then Tony, after the fight, was like, yeah, I spent the whole time preparing for a ground guy who was going to try and take me down. And then
a wrestler Gaethje instead of a striker.
Bang it. Like, all the prep that I did was kind of useless. It could be a similar type of situation here. I'm not trying to lay 10.5 points at Coastal. I think you just try and play the over in the game because Coastal's going to throw every single thing that they have at BYU. BYU, and also, no one's going to look to stop scoring, right? For Coastal, you try to keep this
both of them
close
need to
possible.
Make the case. Right.
Exactly. BYU, you try and rut it up as much as you can. So I'll play the over here and look for these two teams to try and stay pedal to the metal throughout the entirety of the game. I'll add this one thing, Dane, because you also know how I feel about this. This is the type of game that is the perfect reason of why they need to expand to 8 teams. This game is meaningless for a lot of people because they're 9 spots off the college football playoff. But with a win here, imagine the juice that this would have if there were 8 teams and you go, all right, so a win here for BYU, they go to 10-0, that gets them, they're going to get in front of Indiana, they should get in front of these other two logs, like, there would be, and then you'd start being like, hey, but what about Coastal? What about Coastal? Coastal could go to 10-0. They'd get up inside near the top 10. Imagine a Coastal. There would be so much more buzz if we had 8 teams in the college football playoff. And I hope people are starting to realize that the idea that more games matter because of the condensed football format is not true. As if we care about Notre Dame Syracuse this week. As if we don't even care about Alabama LSU this week because we know that they're going to route them. Those games are irrelevant. You know how many games matter this week because of the 4-team format? One game, which is A&M versus Auburn, right? So I just hope people realize that this is a perfect example of why we need to go to 8 teams.
Yeah, no, I hear that, you know, if there was the 8-team format right now, this would feel a lot like one of those Tuesday and Dayton first 4 in kind of matchups, right? Like, this would be, in essence, a qualifier, you know, on some level. Let me ask you something, though. You're talking about how many games matter, and you're right, it's very few and less as we go more and more weeks into the season. We're also hearing, Kev, about a number of bowl games being canceled. Right. Not happening. Yeah. We're hearing about a number of players who are at like opting out now mid-season. Right. Like, how far is this going to go with the concept of, listen, it doesn't matter anymore. Right. There's what, 5 teams, 6 teams, maybe 7, if we want to include my Cincinnati, that still really have stuff to play for. Right. If you're a draft pick, what are you going to do? Risk your last 2 games, maybe get COVID? And like, for what exactly? I'm worried, Kev, that not only do we say, oh, these games don't matter, but I'm worried that we have a mass exodus of players deciding to opt out or not play in bowls, more bowls getting canceled, and kind of more and more teams, ADs, players themselves being like, what exactly am I doing this for again? Now that there's only 1 or 2 games left. I mean, I'm worried that we're going to see more teams opt out, players opt out, and getting to the finish line is going to look a little different than in most years, Kev. Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't worry about it. It's what's going to happen. Because first of all, this has been something that's now starting to hit college football more and more. These kids who have hopes of going to the NFL are opting out of the bowl games. Because what does the bowl game matter? They've already done enough. At the end of the day, that one game.
Yeah. for the NFL prospects, right? And also, if you're a 21-year-old kid, part of the glory of going to the bowl game is going to the Bahamas or this other destination, getting the swag bag, you know, partying and stuff. That ain't happening with these bowl games. These bowl games are purely nothing but the television network to put the show on. There's going to be no these guys battling and Family Feud and having the gala and the fun. Like, so what's really in it for a player? What's really in it for a team that's not one of the seven teams left competing, right, for a championship? At one point, is the risk too great to play out the rest of this season?
No, but I mean, again, like, but that's the thing. Like, players have started to stop playing the bowl games that are to packed already, stadiums, right. Top 10 yeah. teams playing.
Just for injury risk.
So, yeah, like, no, that's the thing. Like, when we get to bowl season, right?
Jalen Smith, Jake Butt. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're not going to throw out everything that's happened, but you're going to have to do a ton of work to know who is and who is not available. We get to bowl season. Dane, let's just say, okay, Notre Dame beats Clemson in the rematch, right? And that knocks Clemson out of the Final Four. Why in God's name would Trevor Lawrence ever put a Clemson uniform on again? If Ohio State ends up not making this Final Four, what is Justin Fields doing playing in a bowl game? The draft status is secure. And Dave, but even that more stuff than that, exists.
Kevin, tomorrow at noon, Rice is playing Marshall, right? Like, tomorrow at noon when Toledo plays Northern Illinois. Why? Why?
Yeah, but listen, at the end of the day, like, those are the games that they're trying to play for their season. Look, there's a lot of games, Dane, that you can ask why. They're playing their games. But the bowl games specifically, to your initial point, you're going to see plenty of players opt out. Plenty.
Yeah. It's going to be even harder to handicap those games. We're going to need to go for the two and try and learn a lot with those bowl pools and the confidence picks and all that stuff that's going to be happening. First bowl game is scheduled to happen in like 15 days. We'll see.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, right here onto the Early Line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid. Dane and Kevin looking at the weekend. Football Friday, we told you what we think is going to happen Sunday in Week 13. We looked at what I think is an amazingly beautiful game of BYU and Coastal Carolina that's going to do something to the standings. We'll find out what next week. And there's also a huge marquee college basketball game this weekend, as well as number one Gonzaga, who's saying they'll play anybody and are holding up to it, right? West Virginia, sure. Kansas, sure. And this weekend they go to Baylor, who is number two in the country. These two teams have been the most impressive to my eye test so far this season. What do you expect out of this, which could be a Final Four national championship kind of preview?
Yeah, it absolutely could. They so far do look like the two best teams in the country. And they're doing it in different ways. Right now, Baylor has a trio at the guard position that is defense first. Yesterday or 2 days ago, playing Illinois, held that team to under 70 points, who's another top five team in the country. That was a very, very impressive result. Gonzaga scored 87 on West Virginia, who's a good defensive team, on an off night offensively. For 87 points. I mean, this is going to be incredibly fun to watch. I'll say this, though, about the kind of stakes at play. It's the fourth game for both of these teams. How much could it really matter? A lot. Because Gonzaga very well could lock up the number one overall seed in the tournament with this result. Because when you look at the rest of their schedule, they're going to play Iowa, who's actually number three in the country right now, okay? But outside of that,
that's all Garza.
And they're going to still be favored against them. This Gonzaga team will be monster favorites in every single conference game. I mean, the absolute most games that this team could lose is like three.
Two.
Right, Baylor plays in a tough Big 12 conference. Iowa's going to play in a very, very difficult Big 10 schedule. Gonzaga has a very real chance to lock up the number one overall seed in December. And I don't think that's hyperbole.
No, that's interesting. They, in essence, could put the Big 12 to bed, right, with wins over Baylor and Kansas, the two top teams in that conference. It'll be very interesting. We'll be here to break it all down on Monday morning. The morning after is up next. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help you save.